Once again, welcome. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've had some thoughts placed upon my heart, upon my mind, that I would like to ask your interest in your prayers, and some scriptures that I'd like to relate. I believe it very powerful and very much in our Lord's design, the way that He shapes and that He molds our lives, the way that He directs, and the title, if you would even want to put it this way for this sermon, the redirection of man. Because of what the power of His Word and of His Spirit, it does to prevail upon the hearts and minds of His children, upon those that embrace the gospel of Christ. We find very powerful things that, well, they exemplify themselves, they shine, they change, you know, a person's life. You know, and that's what it's all about. You know, one thing, there was a man I was talking to at work. And we were talking about the old days. We're talking about he had worked there, he was working there when I first hired in there. And he was finishing up his career there. He had worked there since the way early days, within maybe the 30s, 40s. He'd went to war. He'd there for many years, 40 years, whatever. He comes in, and he's an elderly gentleman at this time, and still in good shape and so on, a good attitude, always a man of, right on, very nice, and so on, and I believe he's got a faith, but everything is about doing more business, and this and that. And he says, well, we've talked about this time, it's back to business, the important things. Let's go back. We gotta go. It's all about work. And I said, Bernie, I said, yes, we know the work's important, but it's not all about what we're here for. I said, we're here because it's all about people. Our Lord sent us here for the human experience. It's here all on account of people. And he thought for a second, he said, yeah, he said, that is right. I said, it's all about people. I said, machinery will rust away and stop working and break down and all those things. We'll go on to the next one, we'll make another one, and we'll keep working and this and that. And the law, as Jesus said about, you know, of course, the building bigger barns, and there are things that rust and moth and rust doth corrupt and so on. But Jesus talked to us about human beings. And it's all about how His Word and His Gospel and His design for people relate to our lives and what we're supposed to do with them. It is all about, once again, the redirection of man. Maybe even a simplified word for the whole matter would be repentance. We know that's a very broadened term. But if we look at the attributes of what the person is like beforehand, as opposed to what the person is like when the gospel has touched and the light of life has lit up that person's mind and heart, we see the very power of God. When we look into the book of John, I believe it's the 15th chapter, that talks about that when we love Jesus Christ, and when we love the Father. And then he says, then we will come to Him and make our abode with Him. The Comforter. The Holy Spirit. And I believe that's something that we should pay attention to, because that our Lord has told us that there are many spirits that are also gone out into the world. There's one Holy Spirit. And so we've got to be careful, too, that if Jesus told us that if it were possible that he would, that the evil one would deceive the very elect, and if it would, he would call on fire from heaven. You know, he could appear as an angel of light to sway you from your beliefs. And he's trying to do that to many, because he's roaring about his lion today. So paying attention, knowing the attributes even of the Holy Spirit, what it is like. And yet Jesus told us that it is as the wind. You don't see it, but you feel its effects. And there are many things that help relate to and point to Christ in the Scriptures of what it does. What is the aftermath? What it is that it is done to help to shape. Once again, to redirect, possibly, to maybe reaffirm what you were about as a witness, maybe to direct you on to that which the Lord wants you to do, maybe it's to be there to comfort and to strengthen. And so we find many things that the Holy Spirit, as we look in Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, talks about, I believe it's in the First Corinthians 11th chapter, I believe it is, yea, the deep things of God. It reveals the deep things of God. We want to know of those mysteries and the deep things of God. And if we seek for them, that he says that, you know, he's more than willing to let you know about them. Alma told us, he says, yeah, he says, you may know many things in full. Now, I don't believe that he is talking about all the little mysteries of the universe, all how he created the planets and how we are formed from molecules to who we are today or anything like that. There's many, many things that there's just no way I'm gonna understand. But I believe that he wants us to know all things in full according to the fullness of his gospel, and those things about eternal life. I believe that he wants us to know, you know, how it is that we will come to him. I don't believe he wants to leave us in darkness, that everything is okay, but you need to be fully informed and you need to know. And also that you may bear the truth, that you may know the truth in its fullness. And I believe a lot of that is why we have a restored gospel, especially in this day and age today. Because what all man has done to it, we don't want to get into that yet today, or not today at all. But that we may know. And so, and the desire to know those things. But all those things stem back to some very simple things about what his gospel and what his power does to our lives. And we look at what the simple things do to confound the wise. And so, you know, we can know great prophecies. We can take a look at great wondrous revelation, just as we were studying in our Sunday school this morning about the book of Revelations. And different opinions that have had about some of those difficult things to understand there. You know, and we can look at very hard understandings, and we got to be careful. It says that the Jews sought hard things, and the Lord delivered them to them. Remember, Nephi told us, I delight in plainness. We delight in plainness. And Jesus taught us very plainly. And it is the very simple things that seem to be so much that the people trip over. But they are just as what Jesus did when he put a little child upon his lap. He blessed him, and he said, you know, of such is the kingdom of heaven. So we look at that simplistic understanding, don't we? In that way, in that manner. We look to our Father, you know, as a little child. And we need to understand and receive it as a little child. And so, I would like to take a look at some scriptures that help us to understand. And I know we've read many of these things before, but you know, it's the mechanics of the gospel and how it's delivered in our life, and the things that we will find when the gospel is lived in our mind, in our heart, and in our life. And we find it's the very simple things that take the strength to endure. I would like you to turn with me, if you would turn with me, in the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter. And we've read these things, this portion, many times. But I believe that it is the riches of the gospel of Christ that are the power to our understanding to be able to receive more of his mysteries, that also that help us to a condition of what the Lord is pleasing to the Lord, and that's our goal, is to please the Lord. And he said, you know, the windows of heaven are waiting to pour you out a blessing. But we must be in that condition. We cannot walk the way of the world. We can't do that. The Apostle Paul said, come ye out from among them. And so what does that take? I believe that we can know these things if we know what's pleasing to the Lord and what's not. Now, once again, chapter 5 and in... might as well begin at the beginning, and this is the words of Jesus, of course. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I believe that each of these have a strength, a knowledge, and a power behind them for the reasons he gives us these. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, to do the things of Christ, not the things that are anti-Christ, which the world does. And we say, oh, that sounds pretty bad. It sounds pretty wicked. Yes, it is. The elements, there are many elements that are in the world that are authored by the wicked one. They want to help to destroy, I mean, it's a very simple fact, want to help to destroy your soul. And I heard a brother's plea at our conference this last year. And I heard the quiver in his voice and his testimony when he told the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes to save my soul. This was his desire. And I remember those words ringing in my mind to this day. Lord, whatever it takes to save my soul. And we know that we depend upon his mercy and his grace, yes. But that's not a license to go out and do whatever we will. And it's all okay that we may wink a deal with the Lord. He depends upon us living on by faith unto endurance. He's vested his spirit in us. And we have the earnest of the inheritance. Remember that? The earnest of the inheritance of the purchased possession. And that is you. And the earnest is his Holy Spirit. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart, to believe all things, hope all things. The spirit of belief. You know, and we've got to weigh in our own minds. Do we have the spirit of belief or the spirit of doubt? Are we searching for other things, or are we relying upon the foundation that we have and have been given? Do we go into and delve into and solidify and keep building upon the truths that we know to be true, or we are constantly looking for other things? Once again, Nephi told us that the Jews sought for things that were hard to understand. Well, we know there's many types of facts that we could take a look at in our studies. But the pure in heart, looking at the very simple things. We can't keep going on to the hard things and forget the simple ones, such as prayer. How about fasting? You know, prayer and fasting have been mentioned all through the Scriptures. Prayer and fasting. Consecrating yourself unto devotion to your Lord in prayer and communing with Him. You and He alone. Do you have your private times alone with Him? They're very simple things. How about faith? Exercising of faith. We, you know, many of these things we say we are exercising. Okay? You're exercising your spirituality. You know, when you exercise physically, you're building strength and muscle. What? For strength and endurance, for endurance. That you will have more strength to be, and you'll be, you're building upon that physically, but what about spiritually? Are we building upon the building blocks of God? The very simple things that are pleasing to Him. The things that we are looking at right here are worth the riches of the whole earth. They came from the mouth of the Master. They're worth the riches of all the earth. That we may have looked over many times, even in our Sunday school. But do we look to them to pray about them, that we may be exercising them in our life? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'm telling you what, being a peacemaker sometimes could land you a lump or a bruise. Being a peacemaker once in a while could make you look like the spotted dog when you're through with it, thinking that you are wrong. Being the peacemaker can make you a slander or something, where you may step out for righteousness' sake. It's not the easiest thing to do. I've had to do that before when two fellows were coming at each other in the shop. And it's only because they both knew who I was and that I had, you know, I generally try to stick myself out there every now and then, trying to calm this, calm that, because it can be a rather heated affair sometimes, especially when the due dates are close. And then I have to holler at them both. Well, maybe somebody else could have got themselves clobbered, too. No, I could have also. But there are times when that is... And so the making of peace comes in many forms, in many ways. And it can be a hard thing to do. Some things are to be headed off on the forefront. And you can see that it's going to lead to a contention. And you try to head it off by a little bit of spiritual wisdom. You know, boy, I wouldn't do that. That's going to really put a stick in the wild bear's cage. Don't do that. Back off. That shouldn't be done, you know. Or sometimes something's done silently. That you have taken care of a matter which you knew would be contentious. And you took care of it. Never said a word. But it was making a peace. That was the design of your heart. Sometimes it comes in different forms. But they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Boy, do you want to see what some of the prophets need to go through? You think it's the most pristine thing to stand before a nation, to stand before a group, deliver a prophecy that may not be an easy one to deliver? What if the word came through someone here yet this day, issuing a rebuke against this congregation? That might set us back a little bit, wouldn't it? Are we strong enough to hear it, to receive it? Good question, isn't it? The prophets. But Jeremiah cast into prison. Isaiah, they say, was sawn asunder. Some were beheaded. John the Baptist, such as he. If Daniel hadn't had a great faith in the lion's den, what would have happened to him? What about the three Hebrew children thrown in the midst of a furnace because they would not worship idols? Or Daniel would not even be polluted with the king's meat, the portion of it and the wine. He wouldn't be polluted with it because he would be pure. He'd want to just water and pulse. There are things that take time. What about Elijah when he stood before Ahab and Jezebel afterwards, you know, after that all happened, when those prophets were killed? And she said, your life is going to be just like one of them before sundown. He was underneath a tree, and they said that he was suicidal. And so, it's a good question. So persecuted prophets were before you. And so, the strength unto endurance is important, but it comes by fortifying within the simple things that our Lord put before us to exercise in, that our meekness and our humbleness may be make it strong. And we're going to go on and see how that plays out more. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You ever been in a group of people that had the common opinion of going through there, but you knew that wasn't right? I'm telling you what, if the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you, you aren't going to be able to keep silent. And you'll have to say something. Jonah thought he could hide from the Lord too. We found out that could not happen. And what else could happen if we are not available for the Master's use? You know, Aaron, Elder Aaron, when he was here, he preached that his sermon, and he gave a good analogy, I thought about. You ever been in a dark cave, and there is just pitch black, pitch dark? And what if you lit one match? And you see how much light it gave to the whole area, just one match. And then when you blow it out, there's the darkness again. And so, what about your influence as the Lord moves? In order for you to be of worth, instead of standing in darkness, embracing darkness, not being a partaker of other men's sins, but to light a match. And sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes wrong is wrong if everybody's doing it. And right may not be right if everybody's doing it. And so, we find out the simple things are that what I would like to turn, if you will, over into 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, and I'd like to start at verse 25. First Corinthians, first chapter, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how many, not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. And this works on many sides with the scripture, okay? We talk about maybe those that are called into the ministry. We could talk about those that are called to the high calling of Jesus Christ, because there are those that will hear, basically, and those that shall not. There are those that the Spirit of the Lord just falls off them like water off a duck's back, and cannot receive it because their heart is hardened. Jesus warned us the very same things about the scribes and the Pharisees, that the scales would fall from their eyes. Remember that quote? The scales would fall from their eyes, and they could see and they could hear. He says, what? At that point he says, then I can heal them. So he can heal those if we yield to the Spirit and the Holy Spirit of the Lord. We got to watch out about that, the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, such as the time in which we live, they've even taken Bible versions and make no bones about it, they have changed. And they've even taken the word the Holy Spirit out of the Scriptures. You must be careful. There's only one Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Christ and of the Father, the one that comes and makes his abode with you, the one that we do not grieve, that we are sealed with till the day of redemption, the one that takes and that helps us with our prayers, the one that lives and breathes within this newly cleansed temple. Remember. But you see, you're calling how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base of the world and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. By simple and small pivotal things, maybe, are great and huge matters even changed. That no flesh should glory in his presence. He's not going to... many look for Christ to come at that time in the splendor of kingship and of robes to commend them in all that they were doing. He came as a little babe in a manger. Didn't come to live in the palace. But he came and he was in a small grotto, in a stable with the animals. So we have to be careful. You know that even the Lord told us to even be careful about entertaining angels or strangers, because many have entertained angels unawares. And we could have a testimony service here today, and I'll bet many of you have testimonies of things that you can't explain on that very right. And I have my own testimonies too, that even that very verse about entertaining angels unawares. But to the glory of God. And that my flesh would not glory, but that to the glory of God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. They are sanctified in and through Jesus Christ. And of our faith, which it says, show me thy faith by thy works, that by living by faith unto endurance. It shows the work of Christ upon your heart and life, moving you because of what? Because of the redirection of man, what his gospel does. And once again, they could consider repentance. We are living and we're baptized unto repentance, or that redirection of mankind. It says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now there was a man that also, he had seen great and wondrous things. They had been out preaching the word unto a great and ferocious people. Man was by the name of Ammon. Ammon had went out with the sons of Mosiah, and they were preaching, and they had departed, and they didn't know whether they'd ever see one another again. And they'd also had given themselves to prayer, to fasting, and they had the spirit of prophecy, it says. And Ammon was going on into a boasting in the Lord. He said, you know, that we could take and we could preach with the authority of God, that we were delivered by angels. You know, he was telling great and wonderful things, and his brethren said, you know, Ammon, I fear that you have been carried on into boasting. And he rebuked him. He says, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why not praise the Lord? Why not boast in my God that he can do this and he could do that? You know, that he could basically move mountains and that he could deliver his people. Why not boast of his goodness? Why not? Yes, we know that, but it has to do with a meek and a supple spirit, that he's made the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. What were the Psalms all about? Many of them we know about deliverance. Many of them asking for wisdom. Many of them talking about deliverance. Many of them were about praise. Many of them talking about the kingdom of God, weren't they? But they were of boasting of God. And about the wondrous admonition of the Lord and his power, his glory, his kingdom. They were a praise, and they were boasting of our God, telling of his goodness and of his love and his majesty and his power. Yes. What is our witness in the Lord all about? But testifying to others of what Christ and his our Father has done for you. And has done for your life. What has he done through the power of redemption to save your soul? What has he done? But that is your witness, your positive witness in the Lord. People want to listen to positive people, don't they? People want to listen to those that are excited about their beliefs. People that are positive and have a good attitude about what their life is all about, especially what God has done for them. People like those people. People want to listen to more of those people. They want to hear what they have to say because it has changed and redirected their life. That's what it's all about. It's changed your life that they may want that same thing too in their life. Because it has made the weak things become strong. Because of the Word of God, and the work of redemption, the witness of Christ, the admonition of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. You know, we find what it does to people's lives. I would like to turn, if you will, actually, while we're here in Corinthians, let's go on over to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. And this is what I was referring to a little bit ago. And I believe that I did get my 1st and 2nd Corinthians right this time. I know we were on our Wednesday night, and I had one book for this scripture and this book for that scripture. All I had to do was just turn them around, and I was right on. And that'll happen, you know. That's the human element. Anyway, but the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians, and you know, in the book of 2 Corinthians, unto the church of Corinth, and we know we take a look at a Paul, and you know, Paul could have been in a lot of ways. You know, he was buffeted in a lot of ways. He had a lot of persecution because of what he did. He was exemplified for Christ's sake, and because of all these things. And a lot of us we may picture Paul as a frail, small man. Because of all things that he could have been a giant and a mighty man in stature. We don't know, but it could have been what the power of God and His Spirit and what had happened with Paul and what he was allowed to let happen in his life, due to his demeanor or his attitude, the way he presented himself. Is he and But he could have, you know, we get an idea of maybe descriptions of what things he went through and so on, what he went upon him. That, but anyway, let's take a read a little bit about this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I would shall not be a fool. Even though his human element would maybe let him get carried away in all the things that he had done to maybe make him think of himself more than who he is. And that's what's talking to each of us about meekness, and that we don't need a parade for the things that we do. That's why, you know, we all try to bear in mind, and I know I've seen a lot of good things, and I know you have too, and that in our congregation I've seen many people that they want to do things and they don't want to parade. That's the work of Christ. That, you know, when he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. People just like to handle it in the congregation. And I believe that's a good thing. They just handle it. And they don't want that parade in their life for what they have done. And so, anyway, he says, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He didn't want anybody to think of him as this great and powerful man on his own right, because he was lifting up Christ to them. Even though I know many adored and loved Paul. You know, that is music to God's ears, Kevin. I know you don't think so now, but I'm telling you what, that is music to God's ears and ours too. We love the sound of the little ones in the congregation. And anyway, fatherhood's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, 4 in the morning.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're there for you, buddy. Okay, and so, but... you know, he didn't want that. When he was talking about those who were baptized, and he even said, you know, I'm glad that somebody else baptized Paul or Apollos or so on, baptized you, lest anyone think anything else of me, you know, because of what happened with, well, someone thought that they were of that person, someone was baptized by that person. Those that baptized each of you, whomever it was, they were a man, and just used of God, and you lent yourself unto the Lord. Oh, we love one another. Don't be wrong. We have to have respect one for another. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes. But we're trying to lift one another up. But so he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now many may guess at what that thorn might have been in the flesh. You know, maybe it was, who knows? Some think that his sight was not fully restored. He makes mention of how large a letter I have written to you in mine own writing. Well, you could say that could have been that large characters, or you could say it was a long one. But something was given him that was maybe a burden. Well, you know, guess what? Through natural course of his persecutions, he was stoned at least 4 times and drug out, left for dead. He was beaten many times and with stripes. He was chained. He was shipwrecked. There were many things that happened to him. Guess what? Maybe in amongst some of those persecutions, he received some wounds that just didn't heal as well. Who knows? But it was buffeting him, lest he should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so, here we find, especially where, you know, when we are meek and humble and so on before the Lord, that's when weak things become strong. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I know in my life, my own testimony, I've had time when things just, boy, they weren't working out. I'm sitting there in a, I call it maybe a midst of mechanical mayhem, or out in the middle of the forest when the truck didn't start, you know, and you just simply, you're humbled then, because guess what? I'm the one that left the key on. So I come back and battery's dead and so on, you know. There's no way. You have no idea. You can shout all you want. You're in the middle of, you know, there was a sign I think I passed. It was on a paper plate, and it said, nowhere. And you're feeling your humility. And say, Father, I need your help. So I put the rifle behind the seat, walked out 200 feet. There's a little bitty road going through. And here comes an oil field worker with a fully equipped service truck. And the next piece of humility was that he stopped and he said, can I help you drag that big buck out? I said, well, it's not quite like that. But we had left, we got a dead battery over there. So, well, come on, he comes, he has four-wheel drive, so he gets back into where I was and so on. It wasn't that far, and he hunted for his cables. Nicest guy you want to meet. You know? There's this little things. And that when I am weak, then I am strong. God provides. When Elijah sat by the brook and he had no way, the brook dried up. The ravens stopped bringing food. How long was it before the Lord provided another way? Even with Job, and Job, all of Job's persecutions, at the tail end of the book of Job, he said, you know, I needed to learn to be humble. You know, that no flesh would glory in his sight. I become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought have to have been commended of you. For nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what it is, it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I know this, I believe this alludes to him taking care of himself. It talks about in the scriptures where they labored with their own hands. It's a day where they were buffeted. They didn't have no certain dwelling place. And we know that there are other locals that helped to send food and clothing probably to Paul for other to help, because they were very poor locals, I'm sure. And because I don't believe it, of course, that there was nothing that ever alluded to them taking a paycheck. And that's the design of the Lord. Nothing did it ever say that in the scriptures. And that's tried to be justified today. And so, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Isn't that kind of neat how he put that? I will take of my own accord to help you, and I will also give of myself for you. I will be very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So even at that, you know, he wasn't going to, I'm sure, places that he still couldn't maybe go, because of who he was. And so, you know, we find where there's so many examples of where it is the weak things of the world that do, once again, confound the wise. And yet we take a look at what charity, you know, is all about in 1 Corinthians 13. That if we do not possess charity, we're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We will basically sound off, maybe in front of ourselves. If we don't have that charity, then we get to learn what that is all about. You know, we're constantly learning together at what that's about. As we embrace it in humbleness, meekness, humility. That the Lord may teach us in and through His Holy Spirit. Yes. We were reading in our Wednesday night, and I believe that this is a precious piece of Scripture, and they're the reference that we find in the book of Ether in the 5th chapter, verses 26 through 29. And the Lord says, I've given unto you weakness, you may learn to be humble, and I will show unto you that it is faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. That writes the recipe. And we found that this morning, didn't we? In the book of Matthew, in the 5th chapter, we're talking about the Beatitudes. I believe the shape and scope of charity. And not, it's not just that we've sculpted charity today as I'm giving away a little bit of money. I'm giving away a little bit of this. But it's a whole lot more, isn't it? The Book of Mormon talks about in the Book of Moroni that about charity being the pure love of Christ. And we, once again, we know that's a fountain. We know that it is inspired of the love of God. The pure love of Christ. And I'm sure that's what Lehi and Nephi thought when they partook of the fruit on the tree, which was white. And he said, yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad upon the hearts of the children of men. And it was in the form of, when he was showing him Jesus Christ coming to earth to die for the sins of all mankind. Yes, it was the pure love of Christ. But it was that charity that brought unto him the fountain of all righteousness. And which also would lead us to forgiveness. The essence of the gospel of Christ. And forgiveness, that we can't forgive our brother whom we have seen. How can our Father forgive us? And in the book of Ephesians, I believe it's 4 and 32, talks about that God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so, you know, once again, we may look at, you know, very difficult things. And I like to keep studying and looking for many things that go along with other studies, like I shared with you this morning. You know, when I look at a difficult subject, I like to look at the other attributes of what goes with it and many that's been revealed to maybe other prophets in order to help, you know, to shape my understanding of things. And yet I need to know more. And yet I need to always come to the throne of God, don't I? In humbleness and meekness. And the Scriptures say that we all need to be partaker of those fruits. And so the attributes of the building blocks of Christ, we will find in these, they are simple, but yet intricate things that we're learning how to embrace as we worship together. So I thank you for your time and for your love and for your prayers as we're learning them together.